Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, notice what he says. And do you believe this King James Bible is true?
Amen. Amen.
He said, now, N-O-W, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then he goes down in verse 6, and he said, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what can we say to you today, Father? You've been so good to us. Beyond our ever even comprehend what you would do, you've been good to us. Thank you for meeting with us this week. Thank you for your people and their faithfulness and their desires. I pray, Father, the commitments they have made, they will commit to and be continuous with and complete over the next 12 months. Now, Lord, one more time as we meet together and then we all part and many of us go our separate ways and never to be again just like this side of glory. But one day we'll gather around your throne from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. What a day that will be. Now, Lord, bless, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I believe, and you can argue with me on, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And he says, now. Now, watch this. I am from West Virginia. Say amen.
Amen.
I say it all the time. I always said, I wish you'd quit saying it. You make us act like we're all a bunch of backwoods, ignorant hillbillies. Amen. And I said, well, not really. Amen. But I love to study words and definitions of words. And I was studying and reading one day, and as I was doing my Bible reading, and I came to this, and he said, now, faith. So I got out Webster's 1828 dictionary and looked up that word now. Because I thought, it's interesting that God would put it right where it is. And if you look in a Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word now means two things. Because of. And then it means this. At this present time. At this present time. When I went back in and looked back here, my mind began to flood, and God began to flood my soul as the writer of Hebrews comes down through here, and he writes some very interesting things. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 9. You read Hebrews chapter number 9, it'd make a Presbyterian shout, amen. You see what God has done through Hebrews chapter number 9. Look at some of these verses. In verse number 11, he said, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Man, what a verse, amen. Listen, he didn't enter into some man-made tabernacle and do some man-made sacrifice. He entered into heaven itself with the sinless, spotless, perfect blood of the Lamb of God, applied it to the mercy seat of heaven, and obtained our eternal salvation. Amen. Hey, folks, like the old black preacher said, we're so saved, we can swing out of the hole in the greasy grapevine, stick our foot in the devil's eye, because we're saved. Amen. Hey, listen, but now watch it. Don't go on and read. Now, he goes on a little farther down in verse number 23. He said, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and salvation. Isn't that exciting, amen? Man, we're saved. Now there's one. Watch chapter number 10. I love this. Watch chapter number 10. He says in verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I write down, keep track of, throw it back in their face." No. He said, "I will remember no more." Amen. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Hey, folks, I don't have to worry about, can I get a hold of God anymore? Hey, I flipped on the TV to watch the ball game a little bit today, and there was the Pope over there doing his last mass before he goes back to Italy. Amen. And folks, aren't you glad that you don't have to go to somebody to go to somebody to get to God? Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I can come boldly to the throne of God. I can enter in boldly into His presence. Not because of me, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what He has done. Amen. Now, watch this. And so, let me read this now. He said in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day appearing." Hey, folks, listen. And you read all those, and then he comes to chapter 11, he said, "And because of." Because of all that. Because of that foundation that has been laid. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, because of that, I have a faith. Amen? Boy, listen. Go to Romans chapter 12. Watch this. Right, let's read this and I'll come back to Hebrews because it gets fun. Romans chapter 12. Hey, faith, this thing, this now faith has a foundation. I'm glad today it's not built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. I dare not trust the sweetest fame, the holy name on Jesus' name. You come to Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And because we're saved, now faith. Now faith. But now, watch back, go back to Hebrews chapter 11. This is where it gets to be interesting. Alright? Now faith. But then he says, not just because of, but at this present time. Now, watch for this. Now, when you think about it, watch. Because of that, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know what, folks? Faith exercised, faith being used, faith being demonstrated at this present time is made up of, it is the substance of things hoped for. And one day it will be a evidence, there will be proof of things not seen. Amen. And folks, listen, you say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say? I can't see my life as it's laid out in the presence of God." But God says, hey, if you just live right and do right and be right, hey, when you get to heaven, there's going to be laid out in front of all the world the evidence, the proof of your life. Amen. Your walk of faith, your demonstration of faith. Right now, it's all made up of a hope. Amen. In one of these days, there'll be an evidence of. Think about that, amen. Hey, listen, when I get to heaven, the Bible says around that throne, there will be people from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And you know what? My life needs to be made up of people from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And that's the hope of my life. So now by faith, giving to faith promise, and by faith, knocking on doors, and by faith, talking to people about Jesus Christ, and by faith, doing what God told me to do, one of these days, the evidence of that faith, the evidence of that substance, hoped for, will be seen, proved. demonstrated. You know, you go to a court of law, what do they say? Okay, what's the evidence in this case? What can you bring forward to prove? You know, when I get to heaven, I want to be found guilty. Not of my sin, amen, but of my walk with God and my life of faith. Right now, I'm telling everybody about it. Right now, I get up here and tell you anything, amen. But when I get to heaven, the proof. Amen. Yeah, I can tell you I give a faith promise and never do it. How would you know unless you called my pastor? But when I get to heaven. See, we think that when we get to heaven, all that we're going to do when we get to heaven is watch all the sin be judged. Hey, folks, your sin has been judged. It's underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. It's gone. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. It's behind His back to be remembered no more. And folks, my sin is gone. Amen. But what will be judged, He said, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of His life for the works which we have done. Amen? I'm not working to get to heaven. I'm on my way. I'm doing these things as evidence. As proof. That's what Paul was trying to say when I read that verse this morning. He said, what is our hope? Our crown of rejoicing. He said, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord in His coming. Hey folks, listen. Paul said, here's the evidence of my life. The evidence of my life. Hey folks, you know what? Some of you would probably be glad I'm not your youth director. Amen? When I was youth director, you know what I did, Brother Chandler? When I'd go visit the teenagers, and mom and dad, you know, they want to tell me all about how bad their kids are. Or some of them want to tell me how good their kids are. And I didn't believe either side of it. Amen. But they'd get done talking. I said, no, excuse me. And I'd say to that teenage boy, I said, can I see your room? Amen. You go to where they live. And the evidence of their life will be there. What's on their walls? Amen. What are they listening to? When I was a youth director, some teenagers said, hey, preacher, what are you doing? And they'd pull up in the car and say, hey, I need to go over here. Take me with you. And then I'd get in the car and turn the radio on. And the evidence of your life is coming. What you cannot see. You'll never see souls being saved in Australia. You'll never see souls being saved in the Ivory Coast. You'll not see that. You may see pictures of it once in a while and when the missionary comes back, but you'll never see the full benefit of your life when you're in this world. But one of these days, we're going to heaven, praise God, and the evidence of that thing not seen yet of our life of faith now. Let me say this to you. You know, when Paul stood before the king, he said, I'm happy to answer thee, O king. And he gave his testimony on the road to Damascus. And I love that giving testimony of salvation. But when God starts working in your heart, I want to know what God's done for you today. Amen? Thank God you're saved. But because of that, what is the evidence today? When I was pastor and brother, this one old fellow in our church, bless his heart, we'd have testimony time. He'd get up, and it was the same testimony every time. 20 years ago, I was doing this, and this happened. And finally, one day, I said to him, I was in his house, I said, man, I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate what you did. But has God not done anything for you in 20 years? Now? Have you done something by faith now? Because of, at this present time, what are you doing for God? When's that last step of faith? You read the rest of this chapter and you see what God is trying to say to us. He said, by faith, we understand the world's refrained by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah. And you go down through these passages of scripture and it was because of what God had done in their life. And at that present time in their life, they had to stand by faith. They had to walk by faith. They had to do something by faith. What's your now faith look like? Because of at this present time. What's God done in your life? I read a book years back about the Great Wells Revival, and one of the men involved in that Great Wells Revival was not a preacher, but a man was just a prayer warrior for God. His name was Evan Roberts. And Evan Roberts would pray and walk so close with God that he actually left his job, and all he did was pray during the Great Wells Revival. And walk so close with God, they'd be having revival in the churches, and he would walk to the back of the church and open the door, and God would tell him whether God was in there and the Spirit was in there and everything's all right. And if it was, he would wave at the pastor in the pulpit, and he would go to the next church and open the door and walk in the back. And if God wasn't in that place, he would fall flat on his face and beg and plead with God to come in that place. And when God showed up, he'd wave the preacher and go to the next church. And that's what Evan Roberts did during the Great West Revival. And he said, in his book, he said, I lived by this principle. What God gave me today, I took care of what today's needs were. I did not worry about tomorrow. That's now faith. Amen? And so you know what happened? People in Africa heard about what he was doing and how God had used him. And they asked him to come to Africa to pray for revival in Africa. And they sent the money to him in Wales to come to Africa. And the next day, he had some needs and some medical bills and things that had to be paid. And he took the money they sent him to go to Africa and pay those bills. And the day come for him to leave that he had agreed on to come, and he didn't have the money. But he got his clothes packed, got his suitcase, went to the train station to catch the train down to catch the boat to go to Africa. And he's standing in line, two people from the time to buy the plane ticket. And the back door of the train station opened, and a man walked in and said, Brother Roberts, Brother Roberts. And he stepped out of line. He said, God woke me up at 4 o'clock this morning, told me to bring this to you, handed him an envelope for all the money he needed to pay the plane ticket and go on the trip and take care of it. No faith. See, it's the foundation, but it's a focus. We focus too much on tomorrow. We focus too much on yesterday and not enough on today. What does God want me to do today? Huh? Now watch this, because to me it gets really interesting. Go, the last part of this. Now watch this. Read this with me. Now faith. Because of, at this present time, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now couple that with verse number 6, but without faith it's impossible to what? Faith has a foundation because of. Faith has a focus at this present time. And this now faith, now watch this, brings a favor. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen? Can I tell you that what you did 20 years ago for God doesn't please Him today? But because of that, today, we need to do something. I'll say this very carefully, you know, when God got a hold of my heart, saved me. I was the first person in my family to get saved. I have two brothers, my mom and dad. I was the first one to get saved. I was the first one to become that crazy, fanatical Baptist, you know. Now we had to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. We couldn't go to the family picnics and, hello? It's amazing to me, they always had them during church time. They didn't figure that one out, amen. Because everybody else was working, but we weren't working. They weren't working, but we were going to church. You know, and so then God calls me to preach, and now their sons went insane. He left a good job and went off to Bible college, and now he's going to live like some pauper preacher. But, you know, I got back there. I lived 15 miles from mom and dad and the family, and so it was nice to have a preacher in the family. Amen. So when somebody got sick, can you go see grandma in the hospital? Can you go see grandpa in the hospital? So it was nice to have a preacher in the family.
And then I went off the deep end, really deep. And God called me to missions, and I left all that. And I'll never forget the day I sat in my mom and dad's living room and told them what God had done. My dad just very calmly and very emotionless said to me, he said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "As far as I'm concerned, you've thrown your life down the drain." And I'll tell you what, year after year, I'd travel here and I'd preach, and I'd go here and I'd preach, and I'd go here. And the one thing I wanted, Christopher, right, is to come back one time and my dad look at me and say, "You know what, son? I like that. I like that. That pleased me." There's something in a son, amen, that wants to please his father. Is that not what Jesus even demonstrated for us? It's not my will, not do my will, but the will of him that sent me, amen. I've come to please him, amen. And there's something ingrained in sons that wants to please dads. Never happened. But I come to the harsh realization one day, I have a father. I need to be a whole lot more worried about pleasing. Amen? He said, "Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We seek him every day by prayer. We seek him every day by reading our Bibles. We rise early in the morning and we talk with God. And before we go to bed at night, we talk with God. And our life is wrapped up in walking with God. But I'm going to tell you what I think with all my heart. He said, one area that we're lacking is we don't diligently seek to please God in our walk of faith. Now let me ask you a serious question. You filled out your faith promise card, you give it. Was it a faith promise? Was it your next step of faith? Was it pleasing to God? That's what now faith does. Now faith has a favor. Now God's happy with me, amen. Now God's pleased with me. Now God looks at me and says, "Yeah, I like that, amen. I'm pleased with that." I think that's exactly what happened when Stephen was being stoned. He looked up and he said, "I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." I think Jesus was standing up because he wasn't always standing in heaven, amen. He's seated at the right hand of God. And when he saw what Stephen was doing, he stood up and said, "Yeah. That a boy, Stephen, that pleases us." That's what I want, amen. Isn't that what God himself said when Jesus was baptized? "This is my beloved son in whom I am what?"
Well,
yeah. Now God said, what about your faith? Now faith. Is it pleasing to God? You know what? I'll get in trouble when I say this. We'll read this Bible out of duty, not devotion. Amen? Check, read my Bible. We pull out that little piece of paper in the back of our Bible and say, "Okay, Lord bless this, and Lord take care of this, and Lord bless this." Oop, check, prayed. I read a thing every morning written by Charles Spurgeon. It's called The Faith Check. The Faith Check. How is your faith today? What did you do for God today? Hey, folks, listen, we got to get out of this thing of reading our Bible out of duty and doing our prayer out of duty and come back to doing it out of devotion, with a desire to please him, amen. I give to please him. I pray to please him. I walk to please him. Hey, somebody say amen right there. I want that favor. Amen? Because one of these days I want him to look off of that throne and say, "Well done." Even before that, I want him to look down off that throne when I have a need. You say, hey, okay. Did you ever give a disobedient child ice cream? You ever say to a disobedient child, hey, I tell you what, let's do. Let's go out and play. Not if you're a good parent. But children that have pleased you. I'll give you a simple illustration. One of our chaplains, Chaplain Chad Goddard, he, for whatever reason, he grew up in Pensacola, Florida. His dad was on staff at Pensacola Christian College for several years, and he grew up down there, and so he became a Florida State fan. Now, I never understand people, you know, who they root for, the teams they root for. Amen, Nick? Amen. Amen. Anybody grow up in Kentucky and be a Louisville fan, you just need to get saved. Amen. Brother Goddard, Chad, he grew up a Florida State fan. We'd talk back and forth, Florida State. Of course, the coach from Florida State's from Clarksburg, West Virginia. So we'd talk back and forth, you know, and everything. And so here he is. He joins the Marines as a chaplain in the Navy. He's stationed at Camp Pendleton, California. He is 2.5 months from being deployed. Pleasing God. Never had a chaplain in that unit. He shows up in that unit. His commander said, look at him. He said, what do you want me to do, sir? He said, I don't know, sir. He said, I've never had a chaplain in my life. I don't know what this captain's supposed to do. He said, I have no conception. He said, there's an office back there. You can have that office, whatever you want to do. He went back to the office. He didn't have nothing in it. Didn't have a chair. Didn't have a desk. Didn't have nothing in it. He scrounges around, finds him a desk and a chair and a phone for his office. And he went into the commanding officer. He said, sir, what's going on? What do you want me to get involved in? He said, I don't know. He said, what's coming up? He said, well, we're going on an 18-mile hike. Tomorrow morning, he said, I'll be there, sir. He said, I showed up the next morning, a backpack full of Bibles and tracts, and Jolly Rancher candy and water. And he said, he looked at me, he said, I'm your new chaplain. He said, we get to doing that hike. He said, we take a break. He said, I walk over and said, hey, you want some candy? Want a bottle of water? He said, I'm your new chaplain. He said, he gave a couple guys Bibles. He said, we got back from that 18-mile hike. The next day, he said, there was 11 men lined up at my door to see the chaplain. And his commanding officer said, man, he said, I ain't never seen anything like that, chap. He said, let's get you a couch out here so people can wait to see you. And the fitness reports that came from that man were just unbelievable. How he had influenced that company for Jesus Christ. Now they're ready to be deployed. God looked down and said, okay, Chad Asbury, or Chad Goddard, let me do something for you. He called me one day and he said, preacher, he said, what am I supposed to do? I said, what? He said, strangest thing happened. I said, what? He said, I just got a phone call from this guy who said he was the president of the Alumni Association for Florida State University. And he said he'd heard that I was going to be deployed and going to Afghanistan and wanted to know if I'd like to watch Florida State play in the national championship game at Los Angeles, California, right down the road. He says, well, yeah, why? He said, good, sir. He said, there'll be 4 tickets in the mail tomorrow with a VIP parking pass for you to go watch Florida State play the national championship game. He said, what am I supposed to do? I said, shout the victory, son. He said, I think it's a cruel joke, preacher. 2 days later, he called me. He said, it's not a joke. Package arrived at his office. 4 tickets. You know how God works? He took his dad, his sister, and his best friend to the national championship game. His dad's in the hospital right now fighting for his life. Got heart problems. And he said, he called me the other day to pray for his dad. He said, preacher, I'm so glad that God looked down and said, here, let me just do something for you. He said, it was the greatest time I've had with my dad outside of church. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But when you please Him, God said, here, let me give you something. Boy, got kind of quiet. When's the last time God just did something to you just because? Just because He was pleased with you. Just because you have His favor. Hmm? I said to that missionary on the phone today, and I'll quit. I said to him, preacher, I said, just hang on there. I said, he said, preacher, I just don't know. I said, listen. Read the book of Job. I said, all of Job, never does God say to him, Job, I love you, it'll be all right. You see, you never hear Job saying, God, I love you, help me. But God said, I just wanted Job to trust me with everything he had and please me. Amen? Ooh, got quiet. Think about it. Now faith is because of, brother, at this time, God's not done with you. Amen? He's got something for you to do now. God's not done with you, brother. You say, look what God's done back here. God's not done. Hey, I enjoy the past blessings. Hey, God's not done blessing us. God is not done using us. God is not incapable, even in this economy, under this situation of the political climate of our world. God is still able. That's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto all good works. God's still able. You know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for us to please him. For us to have that favor. Amen.